What's up, Therapy Thursday? We're excited that you're here. Come on in. Come on in. If you can, go ahead and get your seat, get your paper, get a writing utensil, because God has something for you. I believe what we have today will help you today, tomorrow, next week, the rest of this year. And I want you to be able to help somebody else by giving this to them or forwarding them this link. It's Therapy Thursday. Come on, in the comment section, let's give the Lord some praise. It's our responsibility to set the atmosphere for God to speak to all of us and through me. Listen, we are absolutely flowers, the Currys. We are thrilled that you take your healing so serious. And you're here. If this is your first time, let us know in the comment section. All of my cousins, all of my family, let's bless someone in the comment section. Let's encourage them. Let's speak life over them, because you're here. You're making a conscious decision to take your healing very, very seriously. And I believe that today's message will help you as a parent, will help you as a spouse, will help you in your singleness, will help you even as a supervisor on a job. Today, it's one of those things that is ever present, and I'm excited to be able to expound upon it. But right now, let's bless God for this moment. And then I want to pray with you. And then I want to dive into the very thing that I believe God has for us. I'm just so excited that I have the privilege, the distinct honor, to be able to enter into conversation with you almost every other week. Right? To have a conversation with you, to look at the Word of God, have God to speak to us and to our spiritual appetites with a biblical basis, biblical foundation. And today, I believe that this is a game changer. And thank you all for praying for the Curry family. Yes, we're in the greater Memphis area, and we just made an announcement that on April the 27th, we will be launching our church here in the North Mississippi in the greater Memphis area. So thank you all for your prayers. We're grateful for Redefined TV, the Flowers family, and their partnership and their love and their support. We are here to change the world for Jesus Christ. That is it. Nothing less, right? I love you all. Let me pray with you. God, we say thank you for right now, this very moment. We capture your presence. We say thank you for allowing us to get here. Now that we're here, God, open our hearts, our minds, our ears, our spirits. Help us to silence any voices or any distractions that will keep us from listening to you, keep us from submitting to you, keep us from hearing what you have for us. Today, God, I surrender, I decrease, that you may increase. And so, Lord, right now, it is my prayer that you do what you do best. Help us to hear you, and help us to surrender to you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, y'all got your paper? You prayed up. You're ready? Somebody type, I'm ready. Somebody type, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. So here is the statement. There is a wall. A wall. Somebody type barrier. 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 There is a wall that is potentially damaging your marriage. There is a wall that is prohibiting your relationships from experiencing any depth. There is a wall that is fueling your trust issues. Now, technically, we can stop right there. There is this wall that is fueling the reason why you can't trust people. There is a wall, the same wall, that is keeping you from trusting God or learning God by a brand new name. What is this wall that you're speaking of, Isaac? What is this wall that you're talking about that is is prohibiting and keeping my relationships from going any deeper. That wall, that barrier, is called avoidance. There we go. Avoidance. Somebody write the word in your notebook. Write this. I can't avoid it anymore. We're going to talk from the subject in this session. You can't avoid it anymore. And I want to talk about that wall, that barrier called avoidance. Because avoidance is more than just running away from conflict. Avoidance is more than just choosing or pretending like it never occurred. Avoidance is when you refuse to accept the reality of something. And because you refuse to accept the reality of something, you are comfortable with just calling it a trigger. Because the trigger insulates. It insulates the very emotion, the very feeling, the very memory that you do not want to be touched. And so I'm okay with laughing, joking, and relegating my life to a series of triggers. But we have to talk about avoidance. Because in order to really be able to address behavioral change, we have to have a conversation, a deep conversation, about what avoidance really is. So write this down. I want you to write this down because I don't want you to miss this. And this is where we make the change. We make the pivot. We're about to pivot. Somebody say we're about to pivot. Avoidance is a survival skill that you develop in unsafe environments. All right? It's a survival skill first. Avoidance is a survival skill that you needed to learn in order to survive the toxic environments that you were in. Shout out to you. Kudos to you. You had to survive. And because you had to survive, you needed to learn how to avoid. It was survival of the fittest. You had to do what you had to do in order to make it. Nobody knows what you went through. Nobody knows what you had to endure. Avoidance is a survival skill, yes, that you developed in unsafe environments. The problem is this, though. When you are no longer, help me somebody, in unsafe environments, those skills are not transferable. And when you get in better environments than you were accustomed to, trying to use those survival skills runs the risk of bringing a foul odor into an environment that was once healthy, and now you have made this environment look like the environment that you came from, all because survival skills were not transferable. Say it again for the people in the back. Avoidance. It's a survival skill that you had to learn in unsafe environments in order for you to survive. But what happens when God answers that prayer you've been praying and brings you into a situation, into friendships, into a new church environment, into a new job, and you still bring those old skills with you? And now we do what we don't even realize. We sabotage a potentially good thing. And when it's no longer good, we say we predicted it was going to be bad in the first place. No, the reason why it's bad now is possibly because you predicted it and because of your behavior, because there's some things you are avoiding. And as a result of you avoiding those things, not accepting the reality of those things, the relationships around you suffer because you refuse. Somebody write this. To accept, circle the word accept, the reality of a thing. What I want to do is, I want to read to you John chapter 4. It's a lengthy passage, but what John chapter 4 is going to do is it's going to help us, it's going to catapult us into a brief conversation about what it takes to change behavior. Just saying you're going to change something isn't going to help your marriage, isn't going to help your singleness, isn't going to help your relational life, isn't going to help your family life. Just being able to say you prayed about it is not enough. So the question you have to the pastor and the pastor presents to you is, how do I change this toxic behavior? How do I address my avoidant behavior? I get degrees. I make good money. I get a lot of followers. Everybody knows me. I'm the life of the party. And yet still, there are some things in your life that you're avoiding. And that's the reason why your relationships all look the same. So let's talk about behavioral change. How do we change our behavior? Outside of simply just saying, Lord, change my behavior, right? All right, so look, let's go to John chapter. There is a word. So Jesus has an appointment with a woman at the well. Let's see how this goes. In John chapter 4, at the end of the 2 days, Jesus went to Galilee. He himself had said, a prophet is not honored in his hometown, yet the Galileans welcome him for. No, that's not. No. That's not what I want to read. No. Here we go. Let's start. Let's try this again. Let's start from the top. All right. It says, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. All right. We're at the same place now. Verse one, though he himself did not baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, right near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from a long walk, sat wearily beside the well at noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman. Somebody circle that. A Samaritan woman. She is a part of our emphasis today. Right. The Bible says came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me something to drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised. Who is this guy talking to me? Right. The Bible says that she was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. Why are you asking me for something to drink? Man, you don't even know God is in your presence. Watch this. I want to help you. Jesus replied, if you only knew that the gift of God had for you and who you were speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Why? Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water? Somebody say better water. Somebody type better water. Better water. How can you offer better water? Right? How can I get better water? How can I get something more? Then he and his sons and the animals enjoyed. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks of this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give him will never thirst again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said. Look at what she says. Give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again. And I won't have to come here to get water. That's what she says, right? And then I'll never be thirsty again. I won't have to come to get water. Go. Now we're about to get into the session. Are y'all ready? We're about to get into the session. Jesus says something very important to her. And I want you to pay attention to her response. He says, go and get your husband. I don't have a husband. That's her response. And Jesus says, you're right. You're absolutely right. You don't have a husband, for you've had 5 husbands and you aren't even married to the man you're living with. So therefore, you actually told me the truth. Somebody write in your notebook, acknowledgement. she acknowledged. When we get to, I'm going to give you five things that you need in order to change behavior, right? And the very first thing is acknowledgement, or some would say awareness, right? She acknowledges, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, you know what? You're actually right. I'm glad that you're aware and that you're honest that you don't have a husband. And then he says, because you had five of them, and the person who you're living with, somebody say pattern. The person who you're living with, that's not even your husband. So you actually spoke the truth. Now let's get into this a little more. Look, she says, now look at the response. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me, you see the pivot? So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship while we Samaritans claim it is here at this mountain where our ancestors worship? Jesus talked about your husband. You're talking about worship. Do you see the avoidance? I'm going to give you three or four different types of avoidance, right? And she practices one of these. And many of us in our day-to-day lives, we practice certain elements of avoidance and we don't even realize it, right? So she avoids what he addresses, and she does not go in detail. And the question is, why? Because maybe I don't want to deal with why I had two husbands and what happened with the third husband, or what I don't want to address that. I don't want to talk about that. So how about we talk about something else? That can be cerebral avoidance. I don't want to feel something. I don't want to talk about something. So I do not address it. I do not speak about it. I avoid thinking about it. Right? All right. So look. For you have had five husbands, and the one you're with, you certainly spoke the truth. And then she says, sir, you must be a prophet. Tell me. And then she said, then Jesus says, believe me, dear. The time is coming when it will no longer matter where you worship. And he goes into that. Let's see. Let's go down. Verse 25. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. For when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus says, I am the Messiah. Watch this. You can't avoid it anymore. Just when the disciples came back, they were shocked to find him talking to the woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Why are you talking with her? So the woman, look at her response. Because our goal is to get to behavioral change, to do something different, to move different. The woman left the water jar at the well, went back to the village, told everybody, come and see the man who told me everything that I did. Could this possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him, right? And in verse 39, the last verse. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman said, he told me everything that I did. Let's talk for a few minutes from this subject. You can't avoid it anymore. Her first reaction was to avoid the conversation. Talk about him being a prophet and ask him another question. And Jesus, he didn't press it. But there is a pattern that is present. And her pattern shows its head in her relationships. She has been married 3, 4, 5 times, and she's dating someone or living or cohabitating with someone who she has no intention on marrying. And Jesus presents to her her issue, and she avoids the conversation. But what we have to first address, that I find an issue whenever counseling, coaching, and whenever you witness or experience people trying to go through change and deliverance and trying to change their behavior, is that she acknowledged that she didn't have a husband. And Jesus affirmed her by saying, I'm glad that you were honest, that you actually don't have a husband. For many of us, what usually happens and the reason why we can't change behavior is because we think acknowledgement is deliverance. You can't change a pattern if you don't acknowledge there is a pattern. She acknowledged she didn't have a husband, but she did not acknowledge and agree or accept that she had a pattern that needed to be addressed. And as a result of what we can presume has been her past patterns and behavior, people around her have suffered. Jesus steps to the scene, asks her a question, and then she acknowledges, I don't have a husband. Yeah, it's one thing to say you have a problem, and that is the first step when it comes to making a change in your life. But many of us think that when we admit or acknowledge that we do have an issue, or we do have a trigger, or we do admit that something is wrong, that is all you need. And the reason why the marriage is still struggling, the reason why your relationships continue to fall apart, is because you think that acknowledgement is the end goal. Oh, come on. Jesus says, you're right. You acknowledge that you don't have a husband. But here's the thing. The problem wasn't that she was aware. It's that her awareness didn't change her behavior. So for Jesus, watch this, because I'm trying to, listen, I ain't here to give you something cute. I'm here to change your life with God's word. Let me help you. If you don't think this applies to you, put it in your back pocket. I promise you, you're going to date someone. You're going to be in a business partnership with someone. You're going to be related to someone who avoids if it's not you. The problem wasn't the fact that she was aware of her behavior. The problem was that her awareness did not change her. It did not lead to change behavior. And so for that reason, God is presenting to her the pattern, because Jesus says, let me teach you how to change your behavior so the people around you can be better. Because the survival skill that you've been coping with from childhood is the reason why, or is influenced, the marriages that led to divorces. And I'm here to change your life. Somebody say, I want my life changed. Acknowledgement is not deliverance. Acknowledgement is not accountability. Acknowledgement is simply being aware that something exists. I'm here. If you're with your boo, look, y'all ain't, look, you ain't got to look at them. You ain't got to point your finger. Just give them, and keep writing. Right. Don't go sending this to somebody saying, you know, just, hey, join me in therapy Thursday. This is a good message. Watch this. Jesus forced her to do something. Somebody say, what did Jesus force her to do? Jesus forced her to change her behavior. Because Jesus will not change for you what he's giving you the ability to change on your own. I prayed about it. Yeah, you prayed about it. Great. You need Jesus and therapy. And you need people around you who will be honest with you. Because you think that you're going to change on your own just because you prayed about it, just because you fasted about it. Yes, you can fast about it. God can change your appetite, but you're still going to need discipline. You're still going to need growth. You're still going to need development, because you got to unlearn what you've learned, right? God will heal you, but many times he won't take away your memory. And so you have to be practical about changing your behavior. You can't do it on your own. That's what Jesus teaches her. Hey, you need to change your behavior, but you can't do it by yourself. So look, acknowledgement is simply a word. Jesus forced her to change her behavior. And you're not going to change your behavior without God's help. Somebody type, I need God to help me. Oh man, listen. Avoidance is a problem for three reasons. Write this down. Type this. Tweet this. Or X this. Instagram this. Story this. Avoidance is a problem. Because when you avoid, you essentially become a safe house for other people's demons. When you live a life of avoidance and avoidant behavior, that gap, that gaping crevice, that hole, that thing that you're avoiding becomes a locker. And everybody you encounter, everybody you come in contact with, everybody you marry, everybody you date, everybody you enter into a sexual relationship, every relationship downfall, everything, my mama, my daddy, my sister, my friends, you become a safe house. And when I say a safe house, I mean you're the place where everybody comes and they leave the remnants of their behavior because you don't deal with your behavior. And because you don't deal with your behavior, you continue to attract, you continue to encounter, and you continue to build in this safe house, a safe place. You become a safe place for other people's demons. Your house is not clean. Your heart is not fully clean. And so now you become a safe house. A safe house, a safe place for everybody else, all of their issues, because I refuse to unlearn this survival skill. I don't want to address the reality. I don't want to accept the reality. Watch this. I'm about to help you. Not only does avoidant behavior cause you to become a safe house for other people's demons, but avoidant behavior causes you to dig a ditch for your lineage to fall into. When you avoid, what you're essentially doing every day, every week, every month, every year, every decade, that you do not address that thing, not just be aware that it exists, but learn to be accountable and learn to accept it. And then learn that you need assistance, and then learn that you need activity to support everything else above that. I just gave it to you. I just gave you the goods. But I need to talk to you about why avoidance is the most important thing keeping you from deliverance, keeping you from breakthrough, keeping you from happiness, keeping you from overflow. Avoidance is the barrier. It's the brick that is keeping the river from flowing in your life. But watch this. You dig a ditch for the people behind you to fall into. So when you're dead and gone, when you've transitioned to heaven, they still got to deal with what you avoided. The third reason why avoidant behavior is unhealthy is because you rob your future self at an opportunity at freedom. You've been in bondage so long, you've been surviving so long, that you don't know what it looks like to not survive. Right? All right. Have you ever heard the Serenity Prayer? Let me give you a portion of it. And why this Serenity Prayer is so important. It says something that is very powerful. Now remember, behavior change requires five things. Acknowledgement. And I'm going to explain what that means in just a moment. Acknowledgement. Accountability. Acceptance. Assistance. And then activity. It should be there on the screen right here on the screen, right? So watch this. Five things. You need acknowledgement. Somebody type acknowledgement. Aware that this is a pattern. Right? And then you need accountability. And the thing about accountability is, my pattern is my responsibility and no one else. That's what accountability says. Accountability says, this is my pattern. This is not somebody else's responsibility. But then what comes next is acceptance. And this is what acceptance is. If you don't hear anything else that I say to you, I want you to hear this. You need to accept the reality. But let me tell you what acceptance is. This is what acceptance is. Acceptance says, my pattern doesn't make me deficient or unlovable. You need to know this. This is the reason why we know what we need to do. We know that we need to be the one to do it, but we don't do it. Because you still won't accept the reality of father not showing up, of mother wounding you, of the divorce happening, of someone hurting you, of the people betraying you. You know these things and you know the pattern, your trust issues, but you will not accept the reality because you believe that if you accept the reality, then that means it's all your fault. Watch this. This is what acceptance does. My pattern doesn't make me deficient or unlovable. My pattern may cause others to misunderstand me. When you accept the pattern, when she, this woman at the well, accepts her pattern, she has to accept, this is my pattern, but it doesn't make me unlovable. She has to believe that before she can ever change anything. But as long as she avoids accepting her pattern and what has been true in her life, she can keep knowing. And she keep understanding that she needs to do something about it, but it never changes. Because you believe that if you admit that you had five husbands, that you are unlovable, that you're deficient, or that it's all your fault and none of them had anything to do with why you got a divorce. And so you will not accept, you choose bitterness over, you choose to be bitter instead of better, right? I want to change your life with the word of God. And it says, when you accept something, this is what you say. My pattern doesn't mean I'm a bad person. I'm the only person and I'm the only one to blame. Here is the thing. You have acknowledgement. That's number one. You have accountability. And then you have acceptance. But this right here is a barrier. And this barrier is avoidance. And so for most of us, we have a barrier between acceptance and assistance and activity. There is a wall. There is a wall that will not allow us to accept the reality. Therefore, because we do not accept that it's, yeah, of course it's not your fault, but you still got to do something about it. This is your responsibility. It doesn't mean you're unlovable. It doesn't mean that these people will not get what's coming to them, but you got to accept that the person won't change. You got to accept that they won't ask for an apology. You got to, when you accept the reality, then you can get assistance. Oh man, I think I'm helping. I think I'm helping. Assistance says, I need help from Jesus and I need to follow through with breaking this pattern. I need help from Jesus and therapy. This is what assistance says. If I'm gonna break this pattern, I need help from Jesus. I need help from the Holy Spirit. I need God to help me. And I need someone to walk with me so that I can effectively break this pattern, because she knew that I can't break the pattern without Jesus. He told me everything. But then the last thing is activity. What is activity? Activity is the plan, is your pain plan. You need a plan for your pain. You need a pain plan. You need a plan. This is what it says. It says, my plan is to begin today by not only reading my Bible. So you can pray all day. You can read your Bible. That's cool. But that's not it. That's not all. I know it sounds blasphemous. No, there's some patterns in your life that you need more than just the word of God. You need the word of God. You need prayer. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. And you need somebody to walk with you, somebody to hold you accountable. Right? You need layers of things. And it took you so long to build that wall. It may take you a little while or some time to break that wall. Come on, help the people, help the people. I want to actively create a plan. So whenever I feel triggered, I will respond differently. In order to change for your In order to change your behavior, make sure you're changing your behavior for yourself and not for someone else. Because changing your behavior for someone else is faulty thinking. Although honorable, it's still faulty. Why? Because you change because you want someone to marry you. You change because you want to make someone else happy. But the problem is, if they're no longer in the picture, then you no longer have the motivation to follow through with your change, because you were changing for them and not for you. You have to have a hunger, an appetite, and you also have to be at a place in your life where you want change more than you want anything else. So look, there is acknowledgement, accountability, acceptance, assistance, and activity. And when you look at this text, it shows us these things. But I said I was going to give you types of avoidance. You have physical avoidance. Physical avoidance is when you choose that you don't want to deal with something. So geographically, you keep your distance so that you don't have to address it. Don't confuse that with a boundary. Woo! Now, listen, now, a boundary is when you're protecting yourself, right? And you're teaching other people how to treat you, right? A boundary is when you're teaching people, let me teach you how to treat me. Let me teach you how to respect me. But avoiding something physically is saying, I don't want to deal with it, so I'm just going to avoid you and then call it a boundary. No, that's physically avoiding something or someone because you don't want to deal with or address the reality. Listen here, I'm here to help somebody. If I ain't helping you, I'm helping myself. Thank you, Lord. Watch this. You have physical avoidance and you have situational avoidance. Write this down. Situational avoidance. And I'm about to bid you a good day. Situational avoidance is you don't want to feel something. So because you don't want to feel something, you don't allow yourself to be put in a particular situation that will trigger a specific emotion. So you avoid getting in situations that will cause you to think about something that is hurtful, something that you don't like, something that has hurt you in the past. And so you avoid that situation. Again, you might call that wisdom. Wisdom is God giving me a plan to apply the knowledge that I already have. Situational avoidance is me choosing not to get into a situation because I don't want to feel something and I don't want to address something, and I would much prefer to avoid it. You can't avoid a situation and call it wisdom. That's what it is, avoidance. All right, come on. Substitutional avoidance. Substitutional avoidance is when you choose to reposition or depend on something or someone in order to keep you from feeling or addressing a matter. Let me say it this way. Substitutional avoidance is when you make a decision to depend on something else or someone else to keep you from having to feel or address the reality of something. So there is a pattern. And so I don't deal with my last divorce. I'm just going to get married to someone else. And I'm going to use that person as a substitute. And the problem with many of us is that you got too many substitutes in your life. You got substitute teachers, substitute friends, substitute lovers. Everything in your life is a substitute because you refuse to deal with you. You refuse to accept the reality that, yes, people in your life have failed you and you've participated in it, but it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that that's the end of your story. It doesn't mean that you are always going to be filled with shame. There is a life better for you, but you got to accept the reality of where you are. You are where you are, but that's not where God wants to leave you. Come on, man, come on. Then you got two more. cerebral avoidance. I gave you that. Cerebral avoidance is you don't allow yourself to feel something, so you don't think about it or talk about it. That's what the woman in Texas is doing. Jesus says, you got a husband, and she says, you must be a prophet. Why? Now, since you're a prophet, tell me, why is it that y'all say Jerusalem is where y'all want to worship, but everybody worship here first? First of all, let's talk about the fact that you have five husbands and the person you're living with is not your husband, and you're having this conversation with me. And if I don't have the courage to address you and to tell you the truth, you're going to continue your pattern, although you're aware of your pattern. A lot of us don't experience deliverance. It doesn't mean that you don't know you need to be delivered. It's just that you refuse to accept what comes with the deliverance. You gotta change your behavior. Oh, but look, maybe that's why when you look at the serenity prayer, it simply says, God, grant me the serenity to do what? Accept the things that I can't change. Not avoid, but to accept that I can't change this. And then courage to actually change the things that I can. And wisdom to know the difference between what I can and what I can't change. If we live the serenity prayer with God's help, that we will live a transformative life. First, God, grant me the ability to accept that this is where I am. This is what I've been through. This is what I've experienced. This is what I'm responsible for. Help me to accept that. And help me to have the courage to ask you to help me to change what I am capable of changing and accepting what I can't change. I'm not going back in time. I can't go back in time. I can't rebuild that house. I can't reestablish that relationship, but I can be responsible for the rest of the relationships that I create in the future. Help me to know the difference. Somebody type this, you can't avoid it anymore. You can't avoid it anymore. You can't avoid it anymore. Avoiding the trigger. Avoiding the pain. Avoiding the feeling. Or the real question is this. Why do you do what you do? Like, why do you react the way you react? Why do you talk the way you talk? Why do you respond the way you respond? Like, the real statement is this. You shouldn't want to avoid it anymore. You are wanting to grow spiritually, but in order to grow the woman at the well, there's some things that you have to accept. Not acknowledge, not even say you're accountable, but you got it. Acceptance is the single most hardest thing you can do, because there are narratives in your head that says, if I accept this reality, then these are all the things I'm going to have to deal with. No. She dropped that water bucket, which means she changed all her plans. She gave God full control, and she left, and she told people who could judge her, she went back to the very people who know her story. She went back to them and told them about Jesus. She said, I'm going to tell you about a man who told me everything about me, and I'm not even going to deny it. He knows the truth, and I'm accepting the truth because God loves me right where I am, and he's not going to leave me where I am. If I could speak and minister to your heart, you can want a fancy message. You can want a lot of different things. You can ask God for a lot of, let me tell you something. The reason why the devotional life may not go deeper, the reason why, you know, your career might look the way that it looks or certain things, it comes with learning how to change my behavior. Nobody taught me how to change my behavior. I thought you just pray to God to change it and look up one day and you change. No, like, it's hard work. I got to acknowledge, I got to be aware. I got to be accountable. Stop deflecting, stop blaming other people. I have to accept my limitations, but I also need assistance. And I need to put these things to work. And I believe that's exactly what you're going to do. Take the time. share this message in a loving way to someone and let them know that you love them and this is something that helped you and maybe it could speak to them. Or share it in a loving way, saying, here is a message that I've been listening to. I'd love to listen to it with you. Just with you, because it speaks to me. And when people know that you're allowing something to speak to you, they're more inclined to allow it or be open enough to allow it to speak to them. God, we bless you for this time and for this moment. We pray, Lord, your will be done. We pray, God, that you become pleased with us. We pray, God, that you continue to love us. We pray, God, that this word fall upon good ground and that we learn how to change our behavior, but not change it on our own terms, but change it with your help, your guidance, your supervision. We thank you for the marriages that will be restored because of this message, for the crooked paths that will be made straight because of this message, because of the deliverance that will occur because of this message, because of the breakthrough that is now happening because of this message. I pray their obedience. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. I love y'all with the love of Jesus. Y'all go with God. I'll see you soon.